And thank you. And thank you for coming. Okay. Wow. Thank you. Well, since all my poems are recently in Pittsburgh, it won't be hard to read a poem that's set in Pittsburgh or in the Pittsburgh that was here when I was here, growing up in it. Most of which is gone now. Mills, trolleys. It's a mixed thing, right? It's nice that when the mills were down, people saw deer running through the mill yards. So that's a wonderful thing. Now that that's Walmart, that's not maybe such a great thing. So I'm going to read a poem called Light Rail. I grew up in Homestead, and West Street was the main drag that came down into the high level, what was then the high level bridge. And when I was a child, I always thought that we lived north of the city because we came down this kind of, you know, so came from the North Pole down. And so years later, when I first saw a map, I was stunned to realize that I lived actually south of Pittsburgh. So the poem is Light Rail. And the poem plays on the idea of light. A trolley like a lantern hung by its handle with a stop at the top of my street. Groove tracks and overhead that grid of electric netting. The skirts of the fenders in winter running just above the snow, though in any weather it was magic, clattering, loaf-shaped amps of the carriage, the man a conductor as well. It took me down a hill I thought was north and steep as the sides of the globe. The trolley island below in Homestead, wide as a sidewalk and half a block long. What would the world look like, Einstein wondered, if I rode on a beam of light? Returning at night, I'd wait on that island for the last fires of transit to come shuttling down the wire. This is called Half Light. Driving home from the Homestead post office, which is actually in Munhall. 8th and McClure, waiting for the light. The thought comes out of nowhere. I used to live here. I look down a block of Homestead from which Homestead is gone. Grant's and Woolworth's and Tom McCann's all vanished, and Wolfson's bakery, where loaves I watched judder through the slicer were miraculously snatched up whole. Half Brothers is now a thrift shop. Peter Pan Paint and Hardware, the local outlet of St. Vincent de Paul. And those hardwood lanes and gutters in which the duck pins were scattered. Where's Banquo when there's no banquet hall? Uh, poem is from a thing in the newspaper, notice. Group finds Homestead police station is haunted. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, members of the Greater Pittsburgh Paranormal Society today showed Homestead police and borough staff video and audio evidence. As if the building were some kind of palimpsest, which, being the old post office, it is, presences instead of ghostly script lurking among the surfaces. Though that's hardly what haunted means to either the paranormals or the police, under surveillance as they come and go, or so it seems, beneath one of the side windows. And there in one of the videos, a shadow can be seen shuttling through the room in which my Uncle Arch worked at his desk, surrounded by ink pads and rubber stamps, the small engraved emperies of postage. All of it wonderful to me as the sealing wax kings in movies press their signet rings into, as the rings I'd make of his cigar bands. Sometimes out playing, I'd stop by, waiting beneath the window to surprise him. 1950-something, one of the years before he died, and something besides him was gone from the world forever. Haunt, as in being present, continually in mind, or a shadow like the spirit passing, magnetic, on the bandwidth of the tape. Thank you. Here's a poem called Driving Back to Homestead Park. If you know the area, come off the river and, well, Homestead was, Homestead was a mill town. And because it was a mill town, it was dirty and nasty and dreary, and people, if they had the wherewithal, gradually moved up and up the hill away from it. And then if you got up far enough away, then you'd go through the a pairing of cemeteries, which were still there, Protestant and Catholic, and then you were into what was called the park. Which is where I wound up through a lot of accidents of a lot of things. All right, so driving back to Homestead Park, it was an awful place. Driving back to Homestead Park after an absence of almost 30 years, January 1992. So this is when the mills are being finally just, you know, taken down. And I'm driving across the high-level bridge, which Homestead Grace now. Now then, the trestles hum. Now then, the whole pothole length of the bridge. The ruins of the Industrial Revolution scuttled and rusting along the river below. Now then, where the thin light of winter falls like snow upon the tiered avenues, the cold sill of the ice house emptied of its null gray blocks, then past the new wing of the hospital, decades old, the close lawns and suburbs of the dead spreading along both sides of the road, gravestones heaved as cakes in a flow. And now over another fold of landscape into Homestead Park, wondering what's become of all the shade trees that used to nave the summer streets. Then down my own defoliate road to park before the house I grew up in. Engine idling, what should I remember after all this time but the single die I dropped through a knothole in the floor, wondering if it's still down there, one half of a number, which now is then. There is no way to add up again. Thanks. We're just down the road from Carnegie Mellon and Douglas Cooper's wonderful murals, or if you know him, they're just great. There's some in, well, they're all over the city, and there's one in the, if you go into the center thing in Carnegie Mellon and up the stairs, there's a curved wall in the cafeteria that has his, they're black and white drawn murals. This is called On Douglas Cooper's University Center Mural, Carnegie Mellon University. Coming in again from the present, as if it were a kind of weather, I'm stunned as always at the tonnage of the visual field he's managed to array in place. The great colonnades of the smokestacks and silos of the blast furnace stoves rendered in charcoal because charcoal has burned. The rivers, the paper's white fire, all of it carbon and traces of ash, archival because sealed from the acids. All of it parallax and skew, the hub of the rotunda crowded with rooftops, storefronts like postage stamps pasted in rows, the graphic pattern of city blocks crisscrossed back to their vanishing points. A Pittsburgh configured in the steel dust. Or say the past here were pentimento and presented before the fact, the world that's come to pass leveraged upon it, canceling kingdoms from the stamps. The narrow houses, sun half and shadow winding like dominoes up and down the hills, and on the foreground ridge of porches, people sitting out, the industrial summer twilight spread about them. Some of the neighborhoods recede in space, some are hung vertically like quilts, sight lines and time frames, the warp of the landscape into buckled wards, crammed into the wedge of the confluence. East wall or west, figures in the pattern or templates, mapped across time, the mural mercator of panels on which memory has prepared its ground, shops facaded under awnings and signs, streets you could walk through after, as though down into the past. For the students, it's pretty much that, black and white and backdrop to the laptop world, though they pass from sight before it. Okay, I'll finish up with a moon and over the mill poem called Lunar Grammars. Where the mills are, it's now a mill, a shopping complex, or whatever they call those god-awful things. So, a blood-orange moon, huge and lucent, hanging above the horizon at the distant end of the parking lot. Hunter and harvest, pitted as if with rust. On the graveyard shift, it was bone white or vellum, inching along, slow as the hands of a clock. It came up alongside the river, full or half or quartered, and in the mornings faded out, or stayed in the sky all day, like the lifted dust of a fingerprint, the boss of a watermark, knew it was part of the dark. We had fire from the ovens, from the stars, the humming machinery of the heavens they'd invented back in the age of steam, the great gears gleaming. The moon was goddess somewhere else, and planter's companion, synodic, a presider over tides. Nature was somewhere else, or converted into resource. The river a place to run off wastes, carp you couldn't eat. The fires out on the water, something you shouldn't swim through, though we did. The moon those nights, as close as you could get to shining, slipping beneath the surface, then rising from the river, shedding light. The same river twice, I think, walking beside it as though tracking that shine. The same fluvial moon, first bone, then blood, disking the sky. Locative, then ablative, in time. Thank you.